We're on Memhe Omud Bey's 9 lines from the bottom. Line begins Evelay Vachod. The Gemara says, Omud Rav Yehuda Omud Shmuel, Lulav Shiva Vesuka Yem Echad. When it comes to making the bracha on the lulav, we do the bracha individually each of the 7 days. The pashtus, we're bringing this in over here because by now we're getting to the end of the dinim of lulav. When we said in the mission of lulav va'arava shishiva shiva, so now I guess is the time to talk about bracha on the lulav. So Rabbi Huda is telling us in the name of Shmuel that lulav you say the bracha on individually each of the 7 days on mitilas lulav. The sukkah yom echad, whereas the sukkah you only say the bracha on the first day, and then with that you yotza all the other days. My timer, why is that? Because lulav demafski leilas miyamim, because when it comes to the lulav, the nights separate the days, meaning you don't take lulav by night. So every day you have something which is not directly connected to what you did the day before. Therefore, kol yom mitzvah ba'apei nafshahu. So every day comes out as a separate mitzvah, and therefore you should say a separate bracha on it. As the Gemara is going to give an example further on in the sugya, you have with certain mitzvahs, for example, tefillin, that if you take them off, let's say to go to the bathroom, then later on when you put them on, you have to make a new bracha. Because you went to the bathroom, or because there was enough of a hefsek in between. So therefore, Shmuel is arguing on the same grounds that with lulav you have to make the bracha every day, whereas with sukkah you should not have to, because sukkah there's really no break in it during the entire for 24 hours a day for those 7 days of sukkahs. Whatever you're going to be doing, you have to do in the sukkah. So he says, lulav demafski leilas miyamim kol yomim mitzvah ba'apei nafshahu. The lulav, since the nights divide the days, so every day is an independent mitzvah. Sukkah demafski leilas miyamim, when it comes to sukkah, where the nights don't separate the days, because even during the night, you chayev in sukkah as well, to eat and to sleep. Therefore, he argues the whole 7 days is considered like one long day, and therefore you just make one bracha at the beginning, and you motzi all 7 days. On the other hand, the Rabbah Baba Chana Amar Rabbi Yechanan, the other way around, Sukkah Shiva v'lulav yom echad. Rabbi Yechanan is saying, Rabbah Baba Chana is saying the name of Rabbi Yechanan, the other way around, the Sukkah, you make a bracha on each of the 7 days, the lulav, you only make a bracha on the first day. It's true that we take lulav after Rabbi Yechanan Zakai's Takana, then we take lulav outside the Beis Mikdash all 7 days, but nevertheless, only the day, which is Minat Torah, do you make a bracha on. So that's the logic. He says, my time is Sukkah Daraisa Shiva. Since Sukkah is Daraisa, then you should make a bracha on it for 7 days. Of course, Shmuel agrees that Sukkah is Daraisa for the whole 7 days as well. But he says the fact that it's all one continuous thing outweighs that. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan is saying, never mind that. The fact is, each day you can say is sort of a new chiyuv, and therefore you have a chiyuv min haTorah, therefore a new bracha. Whereas lulav, d'rabbanan, sagilei b'chad yoyma. And when it comes to lulav, you only have, only the first day is d'araisa, the rest of them are d'rabbanan. Therefore, he says you make a bracha only the first day. Now, a third opinion within Rabbi Yechanan, ki asa Ravin, amar Rabbi Yechanan, echad zeh ve'echad zeh shiva. When Ravin came from Bavel, he reported in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that both of them, you have to make a bracha for all 7 days. Which Tosfos points out that actually, now that ends up being the halacha, of course, as we know, and as we're going to explain. But actually, even with that, there is still a distinction. Lulav, you only make a bracha on once a day. Sukkah, you may make the bracha, leishav basukkah, multiple times a day. So Tosfos says, actually, anytime you go in there, then you would have to make a bracha on each one. So actually in Shulchan Aruch, it explains to a little detail in that we're not talking about if you just go out, technically what it is like this. In Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that technically every time you go, even just to sit in the sukkah, you should be making the bracha lo yishav basukkah. L'maisa, the accepted halacha is we only do lo yishav basukkah for eating. And minhag Chabad is we also do it for Abdullah, even though that's only drinking. But other than that, we do it only for eating. So in principle, then, according to the opinions that you should be saying it every time you go into the sukkah, then any time you could be going in 10 times a day, and each time you're going out, figuring I'm going to spend a considerable amount of time outside the sukkah, and then you would make a bracha again. Even for us, though, who don't follow that, still you have the same idea. You might have, for example, So for example, let's say on the end of the first days of Sukkot, so I'm there on Matzah Shabbos doing Sukkot, you're going to be making Leishav Basukkah at least twice, because once for Kiddush by day and once for Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos or Yom Tov. But also, if during the middle of the day you decide, if you go in Shabbos afternoon and eat Shalosh Shudas, you're also going to say Leisha Basukah if your Shalosh Shudas consists of Mezonos or Hamotzi. So whereas Lulav, you would never have that. You're never going to make the bracha on the Lulav more than once a day. Okay. So who is the halacha like? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Nekoit de Rabba Bachana B'yodcha. You can hold on to what Rabbi Bachana is saying, at least as far as the part that Sukkah Shiva. Maybe not as far as the part that Lulav Yom Echad, but at least as far as that Sukkah, you make the bracha on each of the 7 days, the Kula Amaroi Kaim Kavaste B'Sukkah. Because after all, you have both he and Robin agree that Rabbi Yochanan said you make the bracha for 7 days on the Sukkah. So therefore, in other words, we can understand that. So therefore, Rashi says we can understand. Therefore, that is really Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. So fine, Rabbi Baba Chana and Robin are arguing what Rabbi Yochanan holds as far as lulav, but they both agree that he holds 7 days by sukkah, that you make the bracha each of the 7 days individually on the sukkah. And we know when there's machlokas Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef says that means the halacha must be not like Shmuel, you make the bracha on the sukkah only for the one day, but rather that you make it each of the 7 days. Okay. So the verse is Mesi. I have a contradiction on Rabbi Yochanan. A brisa says, "Ha'oisa lulav la'atzmai." When a person makes a lulav for himself, in other words, binds his own lulav on erev yomtiv, "Oimer baruch shech yonu v'kimonu v'gionu v'zman hazeh." Then he says the baruch shech yonu at that point. Now we don't actually do that. What we do is that we instead make the bracha on the first time we do the mitzvah. The reason for that is, so there's a different, our Gemara is bringing this Braisa and saying that when a person makes the lulav, then right then he says Shechianu. But there's a different Gemara in Menachos that gives a different rule that says when you have a mitzvah where the making of it, the preparing of it is not the ultimate mitzvah, but rather only a prerequisite for the mitzvah, then instead you make the bracha when you actually do the mitzvah. And an example of that is lulav. The next example is sukkah as well. The mitzvah is you're supposed to bind your lulav, okay, even according to the chachamim, that it's not required, it's still a hiddur mitzvah, but you're not really fulfilling, that's only a prerequisite for fulfilling the mitzvah by picking it up on the first day Yom Tov. So therefore, that's when you would say the birkas ha-mitzvahs, and that's also then the minhag developed to also say shech yonu at that point as well. So not lo lotzis boy, if when he picks up the lulav to be yotze with it, omer baruch hashem kodesh hanu mitzvahs v'tzvanu al natilas lulav. And afa pisha beirach olav yom rishon chozer mevarach kol shiva, and even though he made the bracha on it the first day, he continues to make the bracha throughout the 7 days. So that contradicts what Rabbi Yochanan says that you make the bracha on the what Rabbi Baba Chana rather says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you say the bracha on it only for the one day. So that's why we're bringing in this braisa to ask on Rabbi Yochanan. Similarly, ha'oisa sukkah la'atma, if a person makes a sukkah for himself, and davka for himself, that is, Rashi and Tosfos both stress, oimer baruch shech yonu v'kimonu chulu, then he says shech yonu at that point. The point is that nichnas leishiva, and when he goes to sit in it, oimer asher kudishanam v'tzvetzipan leishiva sukkah, and the kibbutz shabirach yom mishin shuvayin mevarach, and once he makes the bracha the first day, he doesn't make it any of the other days. So Tosfos brings the reason why we're stressing in the case of the sukkah that he made it for himself is because otherwise, if he made it for somebody else, he should have to make a bracha lasa sukkah rather than leisha basukkah. And our Gemara, our Braisa, doesn't hold of such a thing. So in any case, the point is the Braisa is saying that the sukkah you make the bracha on only the one time, and the lulav you make the bracha on each of the 7 days. Kasha lulav alulav, kasha sukkah asukkah. So it contradicts Rabbi Yochanan as far as lulav, according to Rabbi Baba Chana's version, and it contradicts him on sukkah according to both versions. So the Gemara says, Bishlema lulav al lulav like kasha. Okay, so we can answer that. There's no kasha about the lulav, because you could say, kan bizman she bismikdash kayim, kan bizman she bismikdash kayim, because you could distinguish between when the bismikdash was standing, where then outside Eretz Yisrael, or outside Yerushalayim, really, outside the bismikdash, you're taking the lulav only for one day, because you didn't yet have the takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So then the Braisa is saying that you make the bracha only on the one. So then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would be saying that you take that you make the bracha only on the one day, and the Braisa would be talking about when the Bais Mikdash is standing, so then you're taking it in the Bais Mikdash for 7 days. So in other words, you could say that so the Braisa versus Rabbi Yochanan are talking about different cases. Of course, you know, another answer is also the Gemara could have equally well said that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about even when the Bais Mikdash is standing outside the Bais Mikdash, the Braisa is talking in the Bais Mikdash, same thing, in other words. So you could say that you could infer it that way. El sukkah sukkah kasha, but you do have a contradiction between sukkah, because sukkah is daraisa in both cases, both when the Bais Mikdash is standing and when not. And yet we're saying that, and yet the Braisa is saying you only make the bracha the one day, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying you make the bracha all 7 days. So before we get to the answer, by the way, as a side point, since we mentioned about saying Shechianu when you bind the lulav or when you make the sukkah, which okay, you know, we are the Rishonim say that instead what we should do is later on actually the Gemara mentions on the Amud that we say all the brachas during kiddush, and because and with that also the minhag developed that. That we say Shechianu always when we do the actual mitzvah, where we just combine the brachas together at that time, rather than saying the Shechianu beforehand when we're making the lulav, when we're making the sukkah, or when we're binding the lulav. There is actually one nafkamina of it, which is an interesting thing when you think about it. When it comes to kiddush, we say Shechianu both nights of sukkahs, but when it comes to the lulav, we don't say Shechianu the second day. Now, Taka, why not? Given that in both cases you're only doing it the second day because of Sfeika. Well, in both cases of Sfeika Diyama. So one answer is, in fact, that the fact that you don't say Shechianu the second day is because even we say when we're taking it the second day, even if today is not Yom Tov, even if today is Yom Tov, and let's say officially Elul was 30 days and yesterday was not really Yom Tov, that's fine. All Gemara is saying that when you're binding the lulav, you could already say the Shechianu, so therefore you yotze the Shechianu that way. Whereas when it comes to Kiddush, it's more you're saying Shechianu for the Yom Tov itself, so therefore they're independent of the fact that you say it for the Sukkah, and therefore you have to be saying it during Kiddush itself for the Yom Tov, because tonight might really be the first night of Yom Tov. There is actually a little bit in that connection. There's the question about what order you do the brachas in. Our minhag is first of all this that we do leisha basukah after kiddush is not a universal minhag anyhow. The Velt actually does leisha basukah only after hamotzi. But we who do it during kiddush, you have different possibilities whether you should do leisha basukah first or shechianu first. So what we do is on the first night, we say the Shechianu first, and then we say Leisha Basukah to include everything that we've done so far. That way the Leisha Basukah covers everything that we've done so far, including the entire Kiddush. Whereas the second night, we put Shechianu last because then again, we're really only saying Shechianu because of Sfeika D'Yoma. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So again, Rabbi Yochanan has told us that you only, according to both versions, that you say the bracha on the sukkah each of the 7 days, but the Braisa is telling us that you only say it for the one day. So the answer is tanoihi, it's machlokes tanoim, and Rabbi Yochanan is entitled to pick a side then. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, tefillin kolz man shemanichan mevorech aleihen divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that whenever you put on tefillin, you make the bracha on it, meaning even if you put them on multiple times a day, so therefore sukkah would be the same thing. It's the same way as you have a chiyuv of tefillin the whole day. You have a chiyuv of sukkah for the whole 24 hours, fine. Nevertheless, Rebbe is saying that if you take off the tefillin for a substantial amount of time and you put them back on, then you're going to make a bracha. So therefore, by the same token, with sukkah, even every day when you're going in and eating something, then it still occasions a new bracha. Whereas the Chacham say you only make a bracha on the tefillin one time a day in the morning, and even if you take them off and put them on, you don't make another bracha. So by the same token, by the sukkah, you would only say it the one time at the beginning of sukkahs, and with that you yotze the rest of sukkahs. So Rabbi Yochanan is following the Chachamim, whereas the Braisa that we just quoted follows Rebbe. So no contradiction on Rabbi Yochanan. Actually, as far as Shechianu, then I forgot to mention, so Tosfos gets into an interesting side discussion over here. Why is it some mitzvahs we say Shechianu and some not? We're saying over here that Sukkah and Lulav you say Shechianu. On the other hand, when you make tzitzis or tefillin, you don't have a particular takana to say Shechianu. And in fact, even our minhag that we even the universal minhag that we don't say the bracha when we make these things, there's no particular minhag to say shechianu when you first put on a pair of tzitzis or when you first put on tefillin. There are some people like to have a new fruit or something, and that way they can say shechianu on that. But there's no particular inyan to say there's no particular thing that you say shechianu on the putting on of the tefillin themselves. For that matter, Tosfos goes on, you say Shechianu on a Pidyon HaBen, but you don't say it on a Bris. You say it on reading the Megillah, but you don't say it on saying Hallel. So what's the distinction? So Tosfos says the distinction is, when do you say Shechianu? When you have a mitzvah that involves Simcha. So therefore, in Sukkah and Lulav involve Simcha, Tzitzis and Tefillin don't involve such a degree of Simcha. The same thing with Pidyon HaBen. Now, how would that fit with Mila? In fact, there are people who have the minhag. I think Sfaradim have the minhag to say Shechianu by a Mila. Minhag Ashkenaz is not to. Actually, the reason that it's brought, why not, is because after all, there is, even though there's tremendous simcha by a bris, there's also a degree of tzar that the baby is suffering, and therefore we don't say Shechianu because of that. Tosfos then brings from Rabbi Shuda Goin that the difference is that you only make Shechianu on something that comes from that has a defined period that comes certain times during the year. But then the question really, Pidyon HaBen doesn't. Pidyon HaBen could happen any time during the year. So the Ran enters that, and he says what it means is anything which there has to be a certain defined time before you do it. So Sukkah and Lulav are only a certain time of the year. Pidyon HaBen is not a certain time of the year, but you have to wait 30 days after the baby was born. Therefore, that warrants a Shechianu. Whereas, again, that doesn't explain Mila, but again, by Mila, you could say it's because of the Tzar, but Tefillin and then Tzitzis, you could be doing those anytime during the year. So those are a couple of explanations that the Rishonim give why some mitzvahs we say Shechianu and some we don't. All right, getting back to the Gemara. So we have a machloikus about Tefillin.
One question. Don't you have to say Shechianu when you put a new garment, and then there's no simcha, and there's no time?
Well, there is simcha. There is simcha with a significant new garment. Actually, that's what Tosfos asked on Rav Shuda Goin. That's not time bound. You can buy a new garment any time during the year. That's what leads so we still do have to say that there has to be some simcha involved. But as far as the matter of it not being time, as far as the matter of being time bound, that the Ran explains that, for example, when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, it's bound in the sense that you have to wait 30 days after the baby was born. But you're right. Even according to him, there would still need to be some degree of simcha, and that's why you would make a bracha on new clothes. Actually, Tosfos says, Rav Shuda Goin says, you wouldn't, in fact, say a bracha on new clothes. L'maisa, of course, we only make a Shechianu on really significant new clothes, like a new suit or something, and yeah, there is simcha involved over there.
Even though there's no time specifically
even
to do it.
Even though there's no time. So right, so according to Tosfos' own preferred explanation, it strictly depends on whether there's simcha. And according to the Shuda Goin, and according to the Ran, generally there has to be a certain time-bound aspect of it also, but maybe that only applies to mitzvahs, not to things that are not, then not to things like that, which are not mitzvahs.
So are you saying Sfaradim don't say Shechianu on garments if they hold by...
Who said that?
Well, they should, because they don't hold by Tosfos.
First of all, sometimes they do. Sometimes the Beis Yosef paskins like Tosfos. I don't know actually what Sfaradim do as far as new clothes. I'm fairly certain they say Shechianu on them, just as Ashkenazim do, but I don't know. It's not a hard and fast rule that Sfaradim don't follow Tosfos. Sometimes, many times that's true, but it's not an absolute rule. And in any case, here we also have the Ran commenting on it and others, so yeah. All right. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So anyway, the point is that when it comes to tefillin, you have machlokes of Rebbe and the Chachamim, how many times a day you say the bracha on them, if you take them on and then if you take them off and put them back on later. And therefore, the same thing can be applied to sukkah, that Rebbe would say that the sukkah you make a bracha on each time you go in to eat, and therefore it comes out that you're saying the bracha many times during the 7 days, and the Chachamim would be saying that not. So who is the halacha like between them? Itmar, Abaya Omar halacha ke Rebbe. So Abaye says the halacha is like Rebbe, that you say the bracha over and over again. But Rava Amar halachas like Rabbanan, whereas Rava says the halacha is like the Rabbanan. However, Amar Rav Mori brought the Bas Shmuel, but Rav Mori, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, said this. Rav Mori, we've talked about him before, I think. So Rashi, in a number of places, explains that his mother, Shmuel's daughter, had been captured by Goyim and raped. And then later on, her captor, a guy named Isser, actually became a ger and married her. By the time Reb Mori was born, he was already a ger. But nevertheless, Reb Mori is not considered his son, Mahalacha, because he was conceived when the father was a goy, and therefore he's always called the son of the daughter of Shmuel. Tosfos in one or two places disagrees with that and says not necessarily, that it's true that it says that one of Shmuel's daughters was captured, but that might have been that she wasn't necessarily also because of that. She wasn't necessarily raped. And so they say what it is because his grandfather was Shmuel. So therefore, the Gemara wants to give him yichus to the great Talmud Chacham Shmuel rather than to his father, who maybe was not such a distinguished person. Anyway, so the Mori says, Chazidna le Rabba, delay Abed Kishmaite. So I saw Rabba, even though he held that the halacha is like the Chachamim, that you only make the bracha on tefillin once a day, he didn't actually do that in practice. In other words, he must have changed his mind and held that the halacha is like Rebbe. We would do it like this. Elamaktim b'koi v'oyla b'esakise. He would go beforehand, before he puts on tefillin for the day, he would go to the bathroom. The nafik umashi yade. Then he would go and wash his hands, come out and wash his hands. Umanach tefillin. Then he puts on tefillin. Umavarech. He put on tefillin and make the bracha. And of course, he's keeping on the tefillin all day, like they used to in those days. V'chi itzrich zimna achrina. If during the day he had to go to the bathroom again, then again, ayla besakiste. The nafik umashi yade. He'd go in, he'd come out, wash his hands. Umanach tefillin. Umavarech. And he'd put on his tefillin and make another bracha. So therefore, that's like Rebbe, not like the Chachamim. So you see that even though Rava held the halacha is like the Chachamim, in practice he acted like Rebbe. So therefore, the Gemara says, "Va'ananami ki Rebbe Avdinan." So we also follow Rebbe in that. Umavarchin kol shiva. So as far as sukkah, that means we do make the bracha all 7 days, and the lulav also we make all 7 days, which as the Gemara is going to explain, because even though it's dirabanan, we still make a bracha on it like other mitzvahs dirabanan. And the same thing with tefillin. Then, if you take off the tefillin to go to the bathroom, then when you put them back on, you make a new bracha because in the bathroom you weren't allowed to wear them, so it's considered a hefsek. There is a discussion among the poskim: what happens if you take them off not for the purpose of going to the bathroom, but for some other purpose, and then you put them on? How long a hefsek does there have to be before you make a bracha on them again? There's different opinions about it between the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Alter Rebbe gives the Psak on that, if I remember correctly, 2 or 3 hours. And there's a sicha someplace, or a letter, where the Rebbe talks about why it is that there's a different shiur for tefillin versus for tzitzis. No, with tefillin, it's a shorter amount of time, I think. I don't remember what it is. And the gist of it is that tzitzis, you wear the whole day, therefore the hefsek needs to be longer, whereas tefillin, we only wear them for shachris, so therefore even a shorter hefsek makes a difference. Okay. In any case, the halacha is like that you do make a bracha on the tefillin again after a break, and the same way you make a bracha on the sukkah again after a break. Amma mazutra, so in this connection about brachos on tefillin, amma mazutra, chazina leila rapapi, I saw a papi, d'chol emas d'manach tefillin mevarech, that also, whenever he put on the tefillin, even if he put them on several times a day, he'd make a bracha. Now, by the way, of course, we have to remember, this is all talking about Rashi's tefillin. You have the machlok, that's Rashi in Rebbeinu Tam, about the order of the parashiyos, but the majority of the poskim, paskim, like Rashi, and therefore we don't say a bracha on the Rebbeinu Tams, because that could be a bracha levatola. When we put on the Rebbeinu Tams, in fact, we have to have in mind that the bracha on Rashi covered them as well, which is why we should put on the Rebbeinu Tams as soon as possible after the Rashi. But when we talk about putting on tefillin multiple times a day, we're talking about all the same kind of pair. We're talking about taking off Rashis and then putting on them on again after a break. Anyway, continues the Gemara, Rabbanan Devei Rav Ashi, Kol Emas Temash Mishi Behu Mavorchi. The Chachamim of the Yeshiva of Rav Ashi would make a bracha whenever they touched their tefillin. So they touch their tefillin because a person has to touch them in order to remember them, so he doesn't have hesach hadas. So therefore, they held that you should make a bracha every time. Tosfos says we're not sure what bracha they would make at that point. Would they make a bracha laniach tefillin, or would they make a bracha that it mentions in the Yerushalmi lishmer chukav, that the bracha that it used to be that you said when you took off tefillin? The Rosh and a couple of other Rishonim bring that maybe what it is we're not just talking about when they're touching the tefillin in order to not be distracted from them, but rather we're talking about if they slipped out of place and they're putting them back in position, then they would make another bracha. Okay. Getting back to getting back to the dinim of lulav, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, mitzvah lulav kol shiva. The mitzvah of lulav, for as far as the bracha, is for all 7 days, like we said at the beginning of the sugya, where Shmuel had said lulav shiva. Rabbi Yishur ben Levi Omar, Yom Rishon mitzvah lulav. Rabbi Yishur ben Levi says only on the first day is there the mitzvah of lulav, and you make a bracha on it. Mikan ve'elach, after that, mitzvah skedim. It's only a mitzvah of the skedim of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, and therefore we don't make a bracha on it. Rabbi Yitzchak Omar, kol yom mitzvah skedim. Rabbi Yitzchak is a third opinion on the face of it, where he says that every day is a mitzvah of the skedim. So you wouldn't make a bracha. What do you mean? After the Yom Rishon? What do you mean? Even the first day, Lulav and Esrog is Dirabanan. V'hakayim alon, the Yom Rishon Daraisa. We know for a fact that the first day is Daraisa. V'kachtam lachem b'Yom Rishon. The answer is, you're right. Eima bar mi Yom Rishon. You're right. Rabbi Yitzchak means to say, when he says kol yoma, when he says not v'afilu Yom Rishon, that wasn't what Rabbi Yitzchak had said. He had said all the days, and somebody misunderstood him to mean that it means all 7 days. But really, he meant everything except the first day. So the question is, Yehachi Hayim Rabbi Yishur ben Levi? Well, then that's the same thing as Rabbi Yishur ben Levi saying, where's the machlokes? The answer is, you're right. Eima v'chein omer Rabbi Yitzchak. You have to say, right, not Rabbi Yitzchak omer, which implies that he's arguing, but rather v'chein omer Rabbi Yitzchak, that he agrees with what Rabbi Yishur ben Levi said, that only the first day is daraisa, the rest of them, given that they're derabanan, it's only mitzvah skedim, therefore no bracha. And the Gemara continues, V'af Rav Sava Kol Shiva Mitzvah Lulav. Rav also agrees that throughout the 7 days, you have the mitzvah of lulav, meaning even though it's only a takana of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, nevertheless, you make the bracha throughout the 7 days. The Amar of Chir Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, so we have not only Rav, but now, so we're not only Shmuel saying that, but also Rav, the Amar of Chir Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Hamadlik Ner Shochanaka Tzorech Levarech, because Rabbi Chir Bar Ashi tells us in the name of Rav that if you make, that when you light the menorah on Chanukah, then you have to make a bracha. And Rabbi Yumiya Amar Haroya Ner Shochanaka Tzorech Levarech. Rabbi Yumiya says, not only when you're lighting the menorah, but also when you see the menorah. Now, what does that mean? Most of the pretty much all the Rishonim understand, and this is the halacha, it doesn't just mean that you see it and then later on you're going to be lighting menorah on your own. So, Rashi actually says maybe not like that. Rashi says we're talking about you didn't yet light in your house. You're walking in Rosh Hashanah Adam, you see a menorah in front of somebody's house. So therefore, so you make a bracha on that one. So according to Rashi, it would come out, in other words, that you say in the bracha the first time you see a menorah lit that evening, even if you yourself are going to be lighting later on. Tosfos discusses that in that case, why don't we do that by other mitzvahs? And the answer is because of the ness, we want to show our love for the ness, and therefore we want to make a bracha the first moment we see it. And also Tosfos says, because the fact is you have some people that are homeless and they're not going to be able to light at home. So therefore, according to that, the Chachamim made a takana that you should make a bracha the first time you see it. Anyway, most other Rishonim disagree with that. They say that you only make the bracha on seeing it only if you're not going to be lighting that evening for whatever reason, whether like Tosfos says because you don't have a house or because you're traveling and you can't light while you're traveling or whatever it is. So, and that's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You make the bracha on Roya only if you're not going to be lighting yourself. Anyway, my mevarech, what brachas do you make when you light the menorah? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Yom Rishon Hamadlik Mevarech Shalosh, Haroya Mevarech Shtayim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, on the first day of Chanukah, the one who lights the menorah says three brachas. Lahadlik Ne'er Chanukah, She'asa Nisim, and Shechiyonu. V'haroya Mevarech Shtayim. Somebody who sees it doesn't make the bracha Lahadlik Ne'er Chanukah, of course, because he's not lighting the menorah, but he makes the other two brachas, She'asa Nisim, and Shechiyonu. Mikan ve'elach, the rest of the night, madlik mevarach shtayim, ve'roya mevarach achas. The rest of the night, somebody who lights the menorah says two brachas, and the one who sees it says only one bracha. The point is, in other words, that Rav is saying that you make a bracha individually each night, that you make the bracha lahadlik ne'er Chanukah each night, which shows that he holds. Now, Chanukah, of course, is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, and yet you make a bracha on it the first night and all the other nights. So you see that Rav agrees that even when you only have a mitzvah d'rabbanan, you still make a bracha on it. Not like Rabbi Yishur ben Levi is saying that you only make the bracha, and Rabbi Yitzchak, not like they're saying that you only make the bracha on the first, when it comes to lulav, on the first day because it's daraisa. So umay mevarech, what the actual bracha that you say, the first bracha, is baruch asher kedushanu mitzvayis v'tzvanu lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. So the question is, V'heichan tzivanu, where did Hashem command us to light the menorah? It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. And the answer is mivloy saser, because the pasuk says, don't turn away from anything that the Chachamim tell you to do. So therefore, so in other words, when you're doing Ner Chanukah, so the Rambam explains, when you're saying Asher Kedushanim Mitzvot Tzivanu LaHadik Ner Chanukah, and the same thing with other mitzvot d'Rabbanan, in effect, what you're saying is that Hashem made us holy with His mitzvot. He commanded us to listen to the Chachamim who told us to light the lamp of Chanukah, and so forth with the other mitzvot d'Rabbanan. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok Amar Shalav Ichav Yageidcha. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok says you have a different pasuk for that. In Hazinu, it says, listen to, it says, ask your father, meaning the Talmid Chacham of the generation, and they will tell you what to do. So you see, in other words, that you make a bracha on a din d'rabbanan. When the Rambam lists the 613 mitzvahs in Sefer HaMitzvahs, and he explains in the Shorshim that you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah d'rabbanan, even though we say Asher Kedushanim Mitzvah V'Tzivanu on it, that's one of the issues that the Ramban disagrees very strongly with the Rambam on, and says that in fact at least some of those mitzvahs d'rabbanan can be counted among the 613. So the Rambam says, after all, I mean, you can't say 613 mitzvahs were given to Moshe at Har Sinai if some of them are drabbanan and came about only later. But the Ramban argues that nevertheless, some of them can be considered among the 613. So the Gemara says, Maimimait, what do we leave out on the following nights of Hanukkah? Zman. So we leave out the Baruch HaShachiyonu, because it's not a new mitzvah anymore. Emamayat Nes, why? Maybe we should take out the Bracha Sha'asa Nisim. And the answer is no. Nes Kol Yomei Isay, the Nes was there every day, so therefore you have to continue saying Sha'asa Nisim every day. And the Maharshal takes this out, which is why it's in parenthesis, maybe because not really Negea over here, the main sugya about Neiris Chanukah and the Brachas on them is in Masechta Shabbos. Here we're focusing more on the Bracha throughout the 7 days. So we see that because Rav said by Neiris Chanukah that you make a bracha each day individually, therefore we can derive from that he would say the same thing by Sukkah, that you make a bracha each day individually. On the other hand, Rav Nachman Yitzchok Masnil LaBehedya. Rav Nachman Yitzchok learned that explicitly. He learned an explicit statement of Rav that you say the bracha, not on Sukkah, on Lulav rather, that you make the bracha individually each day, even though Lulav the rest of the day is only the Rabbanan. So unlike the first version of the Gemara, where we had to derive that from Neiris Chanukah, Rav Nachman Yitzchok learns explicitly that Rav said it about Lulav. Omer Rav Kol Shiva Mitzvah Lulav, that throughout the 7 days is a mitzvah of Lulav, and therefore, in other words, a mitzvah worthy of saying Asher Kedushanim Mitzvah Yisrael Tzivanu. Tanan Rabbanan, ha'oisa sukkah la'atma, if a person makes a sukkah for himself, as we said at the top of the Amud, oimah baruch shechiyonu chula, it says shechiyonu. Nichnas le'shiva, when he goes to sit in it, oimah baruch hasher kedushanu chula, ha'oisa asuya va'emedes, what if the sukkah is already made, so then he might miss the opportunity to make shechiyonu, im yochol l'chadesh v'dova mevarech, if he's able to make something new in it, so he puts new schach someplace, or he puts something new for the walls or whatever, then mevarich, then he can make the bracha shechiyonu at that point. Im lav, l'chshikonis, l'yishibba mevarich shtayim, and if not, then he just makes both brachas when he goes to sit in it. Amar Rav Ashi, chazinu le'le Rav Kahana, d'ka'am lehu l'kulu akosti d'kidusha. So Rav Ashi says, I saw Rav Kahana, and he says all the brachas on the cup of kiddush, he says both leishivasuka and shechiyonu over the cup of kiddush. So the ma'aseh, like I said, you know, our minhag is that the minhag of many people in the Velt is that actually leishivasuka they say after hamotzi. But in any case, the point is we don't say shechiyonu beforehand when we're building the sukkah. We say it only the first time that we're actually going to sit in the sukkah and eat there. More about brachas and mitzvahs. Tanan Rabbanan, holy lefanav mitzvahs harbe. If a person has in front of him a lot of mitzvahs to do, so Rashi gives an example. Let's say he needs to take lulav, sit in the sukkah, put on tefillin, and put on tzitzis. Rabbi Akiva Eger brings an interesting point. He says, from this Rashi, you see that you're supposed to put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed, because when else would you have a time when you have to put on tefillin as well as sit in the sukkah and take lulav at the same time? On the other hand, the Aruch Laner says not necessarily. Maybe Rashi is giving two pairs of examples. One involving sukkahs, because we're talking in a sugya about sukkahs. So therefore, that, and then you have, let's say you have at the same time, you have the lulav in front of you and the sukkah to sit in. And a different time during the rest of the year, you have tefillin and tzitzis to put on. So what do you do as far as the brachas? So he says, you say one generic bracha to cover all of them that Hashem commanded us about the mitzvahs. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, Varech HaKol Achas V'Achas B'Tne'atzma. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you make a bracha individually on each one. Amar of Zayda V'Tayman of Chanin of Papa, Hilchas HaKir Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, you don't bundle together the brachas, you make a separate bracha individually for each mitzvah. The Amar of Zayda V'Tayman of Chanin of Papa, so Rabbi Zayda, or some say of Chanin of Papa, not only said that what the halacha is, but he explained the reason. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that? Dichtiv, Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim. The Pasuk says, blessed is Hashem every day. So why the word Yoim? Do we only bless Hashem by day, not by night? Of course not. It means every day, give Hashem an appropriate bracha for that day. So on Shabbos, you daven Shabbos davening. On weekdays, you daven a weekday davening, etc. So Hochanami, the same thing. The same thing for every individual thing, you give Hashem the appropriate bracha. So don't just bundle together and say Allah mitzvahs, but thank Hashem individually for each mitzvah. An interesting point that I think the Ritva brings up is in brachas, Rabbi Yehuda also holds when it comes to food that you have to have more specific brachas. So he says, like this, we say bird of pri ha'adama on anything that grows from the ground, but Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to distinguish between bird of pri ha'adama for fruits that grow from the ground, like cucumbers and tomatoes, versus bird of mina d'shoyim for other plants that grow from the ground, like lettuce, for example. Now, the halacha is on the hand, and it's the same idea, because he says you have to make more specific brachas. So over there, the halacha is not like him, whereas over here, the halacha is like him, that you have to have more specific brachas for mitzvahs. An interesting point that we don't say you have to be so specific as far as food. And the reason is, because after all, pri hadama does essentially cover everything that grows from the ground, whereas over here, we do want to thank Hashem individually for the major categories of mitzvahs. Since we mentioned something that Reb Zera or some say Reb Chanina bar Papa said, so the Gemara brings another thing from the same Amidoyim. We also had, in fact, in that Gemara in Brachas, where it talks about Rabbi Huda's opinion about Bo Mina Deshoyim, the Gemara also brings the same next piece back to back with that for the same reason. So for Omer Reb Zera, be Tamer Reb Chanina bar Papa, Bo Yireish Shaloi Midas Hakadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basav Adam. Come see, the way Hashem does things is not like the way human beings do things. Midas boss of a dom, kli reikon machzik, kli mole and a machzik. When it comes to midas boss of a dom, if you have a full, if you have an empty keli, you'll be able to put something inside it. But if it's full, you won't be able to. It's full already. You can't put anything else in. I will midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu the other way around. Mole machzik, reikon and a machzik. When it's full, then you're able to put more into it. Reikon and a machzik. But if it's empty, then you're not going to be able to. As the Pasuk says, in this week's parasha, actually, if Shamoya Tishma, if listen, you will listen. Meaning, if Shamoya Tishma, if you're used to listening to Torah, then Tishma, you'll be able to hear and learn more Torah and increase in the future. V'im lav, but if not, if you haven't previously, especially Rashi says, in your childhood, gotten used to listening to learning Torah, loy Sishma, then you're not going to hear as well, you're not going to be able to learn Torah as well. So we see, in other words, that in Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need to be a full Keli in order to actually be Machzik, in order to receive more Elikus. Another explanation of Shamaya Tishma means if you hear what you previously, the old things that you previously learned, meaning you review them, then Tishma B'chodash, then you'll be able to use that. You'll become wiser and be able to understand from that new things, because you'll be able to derive new things in Torah from the old things that you previously learned and you remembered. On the other hand, as the Pasuk says later on in Parshas Nitzavim, v'im yifne levavcha, if your heart turns away, shuv lo, and you give up on reviewing what you learned previously, shuv lo sishma, then you're going to have a much harder time, then you're not going to hear, you're not going to understand Torah as well, because that's how the Pasuk goes, v'im yifne levavcha, v'lo sishma. In other words, it's not just an expression, if your heart turns away and you don't listen, it's actually a consequence. If your heart turns away, then you're not going to listen, you're going to have a much harder time absorbing Torah. Okay, I mean, we're saying midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, molei rach, machzik, reikin, and machzik. So to a certain extent, though, on the other hand, there is an idea that to be a kli for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you also, to a certain extent, have to be reikon, in the sense that you have to empty yourself out of your gashmiistika type. So that's what we're saying, that in midas boss of Adam, mole machzik, so that means that we, as a boss of Adam, you need to, it says, brought in a number of places in Chassidus, you need to empty yourself out of your tivus of gashmius, and then you'll be a fit keli for receiving ruchnius. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, miyad tinokas chola, we said that right away, we said there's two meanings of miyad, we learned yesterday. One is miyad, hatinokas, trimped, and that's again, right from the hands of the children, the adults would pull away the lulavim, the oichlam esrogeim, and they would eat the esrogeim. That was one explanation. And Rashi over here mentions, as we said yesterday, that he prefers that explanation because you have the story in the Medrash about a chosid echad who ran out of money, and then on Hashanah Rabbah, he did just that. He grabbed away a esrogim from the children, and then he ended up going to a different country and selling the esrogim for a huge amount of money because the king there needed it for medical purposes. But anyway, Tosfos previously on the Mishnah learns differently, and they say that rather miyad means immediately. Had to nokas trimmed and says again, the children would drop their esrogim, would drop the little oven rather trimmed and esrogim, but oichlan esrogehen, and they themselves, the children, would eat their own esrogim. In any case, the point is that we're saying that the esrogim of the children can be eaten on the seventh day of Sukkot on Hashanah Rabbah. So let's discuss that. Amar Rav Yechanan esrog b'shvi also b'shmini motor. Rabbi Yochanan says the esrog is also to eat on the seventh day of Sukkot because it's still reserved for the mitzvah. Whereas on the eighth day, on Shmini Atzeres, it'd be mutter because the eighth day already, you're not taking hold of an esrog anymore, so therefore it's not reserved for the mitzvah anymore. But Resh Lakish on the esrog after the Bishvi Nami mutter. Resh Lakish says even on the seventh day, once you're done the mitzvah, then already it becomes mutter. The Ma'akam Mitzvah. So what's the underlying machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish? Marisavala mitzvah is katsoi, or marisavala kula yoyim is katsoi. Resh Lakish holds that the esrog is only reserved for the mitzvah. So once you've done the mitzvah the last time for that yomtiv, then that's it. It's no longer muktzah, therefore you're allowed to eat it. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds the kula yoyim is katsoi, it's muktzah set aside for the entire day, and therefore, even though you were yotze the mitzvah earlier in the day, it still remains also to eat that entire day. So the Gemara says, "Esved Resh Lakish Lo Yechanan Miyad Tinokas Shemtin Et Lovein VaOchlan Esrogehen." What about Om Mishnah? Says that the esrogim of the children are eaten. So again, according to Rashi's version, it means that the adults eat the esrogim of the children. And Rashi on the Mishnah explains that it was done as an expression of simcha. So therefore, nobody minded; it wasn't considered gezel. According to Tosfos' explanation, means that the children themselves would eat the esrogim. Either way, we're saying that they ate them on the seventh day. Now we're saying the children, my love, who had been legdoven. On the face of it, that means not only the children, but also the adults. Maybe we're mentioning the children because they used to regularly do that, or because, especially according to Rashi's explanation, that we're talking about that the adults would grab it away from the children, so there was more likely they'd grab it away from the children rather than from other adults. So then on the face of it, though, in principle, the Mishnah might be saying that any esrogim are mutter to eat on the seventh day, even the adults. And that would be like Resh Lakish and not like Rabbi Yochanan. And the answer is no. Loi tinukas davka. No, Rabbi Yochanan will answer that no, it means davka the children, because their esrogim are not really used for a full-fledged mitzvah. They themselves are only chayev in Dalad Minim because of chinuch. So therefore, their esrogim are not really mukta for the mitzvah, per se, but the esrogim of the adults are. Ikadamri, another version of the discussion goes the other way around. Esved Rabbi Yochanan l'Resh Lakish, that it was the other way around. Rabbi Yochanan asked Resh Lakish. The Mishnah says miyada tinokas trempin es lovein va'ochlan esrogehen, implying tinokas ein gdolim loy. So for Kaut, it sounds like the Mishnah is only saying tinokas, not the gdolim, and that would be according to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan would say the ones for the children are not for a mitzvah gemurah, so therefore they're mutter, but the ones that for the adults were for a mitzvah gemurah, and therefore they can't be eaten that day. So that would contradict Resh Lakish. And Resh Lakish answers no. No, who are deen after the gdolim? The answer is who are deen after the gdolim? No, it could mean even the esrogim of the adults. It mentions the children because that was the usual way, because adults usually are not going to grab a esrogim away from other adults, only from children. But in fact, maybe the Mishnah would be implying that all of them are mutter, even the ones of the adults, which would be like Resh Lakish. So we can't prove one way or the other from the Mishnah, like Rabbi Yochanan or like Rish Lakish. Now, we learned earlier in the Masechta that the Sukkah is also for the entire 7 days, and even on Shemini Atzeres. So Amalei Rapapa Labaya, Rabbi Yochanan, Maishno Sukkah, Maishno Esrog. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, why is there a difference between the Sukkah and the Esrog? Where the sukkah is also, meaning, and Tosfos says that means even if the sukkah falls down on Yom Tov itself, on Shemini Atzeres, obviously you can't take down the sukkah because that would be soser. But even let's say it previously fell down during Chol HaMoed, nevertheless, the wood of it still remains also to use. And also, we talked about in the first part, the decorations are also to use throughout the 8 days unless you made a tnai on them. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, why would we say that the sukkah is also for all 8 days, including Shemini Atzeres, whereas by the Esrog not? The Esrog, he's saying, is only also the seventh day, but becomes mutter on the eighth day. Amalei, so he answered him, the difference is sukkah dechazil bein hashmashes, because the sukkah is still usable bein hashmashes of the end of Hashanah Rabbah. The Isramile Sudasa, because after all, at that point, it's a suffix whether it's the seventh or the eighth day, because Bein Hashmashes is always a suffix. So therefore, if you had to eat a meal, Boi Mesa Bagavo Mechaba, you would still have to sit in the sukkah and you'd still have to eat in there because of the suffix. Therefore, it's Katsoy the Bein Hashmashes. Therefore, it's still reserved for the mitzvah Bein Hashmashes. Umigo de Katsoy the Bein Hashmashes is Katsoy the Kulayoma. We have a general rule with Mukta that when something is also Bein Hashmashes, it remains also for the entire day. So therefore, it remains also for the entire day of the eighth day because it was still also Bein Hashmashes going into the eighth day because that Bein Hashmashes might still be part of the seventh day. So therefore, the sukkah is also on the eighth day. On the other hand, Esrog lechazi lebein hashmashes. On the other hand, the esrog is not suitable to use bein hashmashes because you only need it once a day, and you were yotzer already with it in the morning. Okay, it could happen that you weren't yotzer with it in the morning, and you're first going to take it bein hashmashes, but that's a very rare case. We don't have to make a takana because of that. So therefore, loy is katzori lebein hashmashes. So when it comes bein hashmashes following Hashanah Rabbah, it's not muktzah at that point because there's no. In general, you're not going to be using it for the mitzvah at that point. Therefore, loy is katzori lekol yom deshmini. So it doesn't become muktzah for the entire eighth day. So that would be the reason why Rabbi Yochanan would say the difference between the esrog and the sukkah. Now, Tosfos points out, really, in fact, you could say that the Esrog is Mukta Bein Hashmashes because, again, you have Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. On the other hand, Tosfos says, not really, because the difference is, again, we said that with the Esrog, every day is a separate thing, as opposed to with the Sukkah. We said it's a continuous thing throughout all the days. So therefore, and when it comes to the sukkah, in fact, we talked about in the first parak, Machlokes Rishonim, whether it's enough to make the tnai as far as the decorations, for example, on the first night, and that covers all of sukkahs, or whether you have to make the tnai each day individually for that day's Bein Hashmashes. So whereas with the esrog, each day is definitely separate, seeing as how you don't take esrog at night. And therefore, so even though it was mukta bein hashmashes going into Hashanah Rabbah, it's not mukta bein hashmashes going into Shemini Atzeres. Okay. Continues the Gemara with more opinions on the subject. The Levi Omer Esrog Afilu B'Shemini also. Now Levi says no. So far we had Rish Lakish with the most makel. He says even on Hashanah Rabbah, even on the seventh day, after you were yotze the myth wool of an esrog for the last time, then you were allowed to eat the esrog. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, you have to wait until after Hashanah Rabbah. You can eat it on Shemini Atzeres. Levi is now being more machmir and saying, esrog, after the Shemini Aser, it's also even on the eighth day. And the reason is, Tosfos says, because he makes a gzera, you shouldn't use the esrog at that point, because if you do, you might come to use the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, and the sukkah we said you're not allowed to. Avod, the father of Shmuel, says, like Rabbi Yochanan, that it's also on the seventh, but it's mutter on the eighth. In the end, what happened was, come Avod Shmuel, the shit say to Levi. Avod Shmuel eventually changed his mind and agreed with Levi that it's also on the eighth day as well. Come Rabzeda, the shit said, Avod Shmuel, And Reb Zera ended up following the shita of Avuah d'Shmuel, and we know that. Even though the Esther became posel, you were not allowed to eat it throughout the 7 days because it was originally reserved for all 7 days. But it would be mutter on the eighth day, which agrees with what Avuah d'Shmuel said originally. Okay, the actual halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. So the esrog is mutter on the eighth day. And for us, b'nei chutz la'aretz, it's also on the eighth day because Sukkot Shvi, because it might officially be the seventh day of Sukkot. We don't take lulav and esrog on it because we don't want to be mezalzel in it and show openly that we're treating it as if it was a day of Sukkot, where really it's a yomtiv of its own, as the Gemara is going to tell us later on, daf mem ches. But nevertheless, the esrog is still mukta on the eighth day for that reason. But on the ninth day, on Simchas Torah, you're allowed to eat the esrog. On the other hand, when it comes to the sukkah, it remains, you're not allowed to use any of the decorations or the wood of it or whatever, even if it fell down, even on Shemini, even on Simchas Torah. Okay. Another din.
Regarding the sukkah, we say about Shemini Atzeres HaChagaz, it's a separate chag. Why do we eat in Sukkah even without a bracha?
We're going to talk about that tomorrow, Mr. Shem. We're going to have a long discussion about that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
More on this topic about the lulavim and asrogim of children. Amar Abzera, loy likni inish hashayna liyinuka biyema tova kama. A person should not be makne, his hashayna, meaning his dalad minim, to a child on the first day of Yom Tov. My timer. The yinukim, we've talked about this before, but now here's the place where the Gemara talks about it. My time, the yinukim mikne koi aknuyele makni. A child is able to be koine, dirabonon, but he's not able to be makne to others because he doesn't have das. So therefore, be ishtakach, the konofik, the lulav shein ishaloi. So on the first day of Yom Tov, if you're makne to the child, then it comes out later on when you take it back from him, it's not really yours. And on the first day, we've said you need lachem, so therefore that's no good. We've talked about before that we talked when we discussed this point in the previous perek when we were talking about the dinim of lachem. So there are rishonim who say that maybe if the child is of the age of pu'utos, between 6 and 10 years old, the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, where then he's old enough to understand the basics of what buying and selling are all about, then maybe he could be machne back to you, and therefore there's less of an issue. Whereas other posts can disagree with that. You also have now in Eretz Yisrael, you have very little problem with that. What you do is you yotze with it yourself, then you give it to your kid, and that's it. You don't need lochem the rest of the days of Yom Tov. In Chutz La'aretz, you have a problem because the second day you also need lochem, again, because it's a suffix that it might be the first day. So you have various possibilities. One is that you continue to hold on to the lulav while the child is using it, and that way it never left your reshus, and that way he's not fully cutting it. There's an interesting discussion. Can you give it to him as a matana for a limited amount of time? Does that work? So the Rosh says that not. Only matana amanas lahachzir, which we learned in the previous perek, that works. But to say, I'm giving this to you and it's yours, let's say, for the next 5 minutes, the Rosh learned that would not work. That's not considered a matana. So then you get into the question of, which we discussed also then, that Achronim talk about, is it in fact necessary when you're having the child do the mitzvah, does it have to be that he's doing it, that he's also doing it lachem, or do we say that since he's really not chayav daraisa anyway, he's only chayav because of chinuch, then maybe the fact that it's not his, the fact that it's not lachem is really not as important. So the ma'isa, of course, you know, one way of getting around the whole situation is buy him his own lulav and esrog. But if not, then you use one of those other, methods. Okay. The Amr of Zera, also Rav Zera says, Loy leima inishli yinuka diyehiv nalach midi v'lo yoyevle. Also talking about as far as children, as far as chinuch of children, don't tell a child, I'm going to give you something and don't end up giving it to him. Mishum da'osu, like, even if you have a good reason. Mishum da'osu, like, mori shikra, you're going to teach him to lie. Shenema limdu l'shoinem daber sheker. As the Pasuk says, they've taught their tongues to speak falsehood, so make sure you don't do that. Make sure you don't teach a child to lie, because he's not going to realize whatever reasons it is you had for not keeping your promise, and therefore he's going to think that it's okay to lie. So going back to the machlokas about the esrog, how long is it also for? So the Gemara points out, this also relates to a machlokas of this that this is that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are arguing about when is the esrog also only is it mutter on the seventh day itself, or is it also for the whole seventh day and mutter only on the eighth day? You have the same machloekas between other amudroim as well. Or we plug to the Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Shimon Lakish in that same machloekas. Rav and Rav Asi also have the same machloekas. The Itmar, Hefer Shiva Esrogim L'Shiva Yomim. What if a person designated seven Esrogim for the 7 days of Sukkot? So each day he's going to use a different Esrog for the mitzvah. So Omer Rav, Kol Achas Vachas Yotze Bava Oichel Alter. So Rav says that each one, you can eat it as soon as you were Yotze with it. It's only, you used it for the mitzvah that day. You're not planning to use it anymore. To begin with, you only plan to use it that day. Therefore, you can eat it right away after that. Whereas Rav Asi holds, like Rav Yechanan, that each one you can be yotze with it, but you can only eat it the next day. So you have the same machloikas as Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish have that it's also the entire seventh day. And the Gemara asks, we in Chutz La'aretz, so we have 2 days of Yom Kippur, what do we do? Amar Abaya, Shmini Sofek Shvi Osir. We have to follow Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Asi. So when you have a machloikas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the halachas like Rabbi Yochanan. So now, the eighth day for us is a Sofek, that it might have been the seventh day, then it's still Osir. She, Sofek Shmini Mutter, but the ninth day, Simchas Torah, which is only a Sofek, whether it's the eighth day, then it's Mutter, because even Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Asi are not going to ask it on that day. Marema says it's mutter even on the eighth day, which is a suffix, the seventh day, because it's only a suffix. So the Gemara tells us, Besura Abdi to Marema. In Surah, they followed Marema, so they were able to eat the Esrog on the eighth day. Surah, of course, being in Chutbaret. Rav Shisha Breder of Idi Ovid Kabaya. Rav Shisha Breder of Idi, on the other hand, followed Abaya and said that it's also on Shmini Atzeres. It's mutter only on Simchas Torah. The Hilchas Akabaya and the Halacha in that is like a Baya, and that's how we have it. The Esrog remains also on Shmini Atzeres, but you're allowed to eat it on Simchas Torah. Okay, and then we'll continue tomorrow, Baz Hashem, with discussing as far as Shmini Atzeres being a Sufik, how that relates to sitting in the Sukkah, and then we're going to get into your question, Avraham Moshe, why we sit in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres without a bracha.
Yeah,